Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
The mistake-prone Chiefs keep their season alive with a 31-13 win over Washington. And it's amazing how 1 hour of football can make fans feel better. Stan Weber has been, and still is, bullish on the Chiefs' chances of not only making the playoffs, but being an absolute force later in the season. He shares his thoughts with us on the best quarter the team has played this year. Unfortunately, it feels like college football is slipping away from us. A glorious Saturday on campus, tailgating, hanging out with friends and family, and remembering our days in school turned ugly as KU, K-State, and Mizzou all get just drilled at home. It doesn't get any worse than this, and it doesn't look like things are going to get any better. And you think the SEC isn't that much different from other conferences? A coach wins a national title less than 2 years ago. He gets an upset win at home against a rival in the top 20 in the country. And he gets fired on Sunday. The SEC is blood sport when it comes to football. It's the Football Feast on KKHI, brought to you by Merriam Body Shop. Man, this is the only place to go get your car fixed for a collision problem that you had, or detailed. They do it all. Anything from paintless dent removal, small little door dings, to major collisions, Merriam Body Shop does it all. The corporate guys don't do that. This is locally owned and operated. These are really good people. Call Justin and say, listen, my ride needs to be cleaned up. I got some dents and dings, and I want you to fix it. At Merriam Body Shop, 913-362-1198. That's 362-1198. Ask for Justin. Tell him you listen to KKHI. If you get in an accident, they're the go-to guys. They're locally owned and operated. They're great conservatives like the rest of us. MerriamBodyShop.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. The only place to get your new GM or pre-owned vehicle. Online at robertsrobinson.com. Remember, they'll repair your car too. They've got an award-winning service bay. Here's what they do. They'll pick your car up, they'll service it, and return it to you. If you don't, it doesn't matter where you live. You don't have to live in Excelsior Springs. They'll come get it. They will. They'll do the service work for you, even if it's just like oil change, lube, whatever. It's super convenient. These people really bend over backwards to do all the right things for you at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs. You want to order a new GMC, just get online with them and build it the way you want it. Have it built from the factory and sent right to you. RobertsRobinson.com. Amazing Garage Floors, online at AmazingGarageFloors.net. We're going to be moving here in a couple of weeks, getting in our new home. First thing I do when I get in, John's going to come out and put in a garage floor for me. I can't wait to have that baby. The driveway's already been sealed with Seal XP. It's a great product, and it will save you thousands of dollars in repair costs for your driveway. You still have a few weeks left before winter hits to get your driveway sealed or get that new garage floor at AmazingGarageFloors.net, 913-901-7139. And, of course, my friends at B-Stock. Yeah, I'm getting some new TVs in the house, too. Pretty excited about this. I've got an 85-inch 8K TV going in my man cave because Chris at B-Stock has them. An amazing picture. Absolutely stunning to watch Chiefs games, any football. It's what I watch. I watch football. I watch a lot of football. Man, B-Stock is hooking me up, and they can hook you up too. 14680 South Flaming Road or online at bstock.net. It's the football feast. The Chiefs season is alive. The colleges are circling the drain. On KKHI. Hit it!
Window World. The official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues online at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Stan Weber's our Monday morning quarterback, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about. We begin with the Kansas City Chiefs, which, in my instant reaction, not good enough. I mean, you don't apologize for 31-13 wins. The Chiefs will take it, and they're back in the game. They're 3-3 and only a game out of first place. Stan joins us to talk about what went right and what went wrong. Hello, Stan. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. So my takeaway is that's not good enough. I mean, I think a lot of Chiefs fans, my text thread on my phone is amazing. It was blowing up. They suck. The season's over. They suck. They're awful, awful, awful. To we're winning the Super Bowl an hour later. I just can't go there. The Chiefs are making a lot of mistakes. What's your takeaway from the win?
Well, I think there's a bit of everybody's opinion that can hold some weight, because while we move forward another game into the season, the thought process that one may have still could be true, because there needs to be more confirmation that something different is happening. For instance, I thought about you and our conversation last week and your take on where the Chiefs are, and not a good record, 2-3 going into the game, and then down at the half making bad mistakes. Even Patrick Mahomes joining the party. You know, the interception that he threw was so bad, but just dropping the snap is something you just can't have and has been going on. Then the next decision to throw it. And so then Patrick Mahomes is now making mistakes. Tyreek Hill, the ball bounces off his hands for the second week in a row for an interception. And the Chiefs are down. And then until Washington lined up and missed a field goal, you thought, hey, this could really be a tough game all the way to the end. And if the Chiefs continue on like they did in the first half, they may have a loss. And now you're looking at 2-4, and every negative thought you have is real. So I think there's a lot of respect for the fact that the first half did happen and the Chiefs looked in disarray, making the same mistakes and not dominating the football game. But on the other side, I think there's room for the mentality that I had last week, that I think the Chiefs are going to work their way out of this. I still think that the turnover numbers are going to turn downward. I still don't think Tyreek Hill is going to have the ball bouncing off of his hands. I think there are going to be plenty of games where the Chiefs only have one turnover, not three, four, and things like that. The schedule is going to turn in the NFL. There's a lot of teams that are just average. They really are, and they're teams that you could beat. And I think the Chiefs are going to be lining up against some of those teams. They're going to have a stretch just a little bit later in the year when I think the team's going to be more engaged, more ready for the run down the stretch where I think they play 5 of 6 games at home. So I fully expect the Chiefs to bounce back and play a pretty good football and to beat the Washington Redskins. I predicted 31-20 going into the game. And at the end of the day, it ends up being pretty close. It was a roller coaster ride and all the negative thoughts I thought about you, Kevin, as the game was unfolding and the red flags you have and the things that are disappointing and don't lead to quality winning football game after game, down after down. Those things matter in the NFL. So I thought, boy, the thoughts you had were very credible. But at the end of the day, I don't feel any different than I did last week. If, and people need to really understand what I'm saying, if Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill are healthy, number one, if they are healthy, then I think the Chiefs can bounce back and be a dangerous playoff team, and I think they will make the playoffs. It's more a matter of elimination. It's looking around the rest of the AFC, and there's just almost no way they're not going to make the playoffs. And already, they're knocking on the door of being a division champion again if they start playing some decent football. And you don't have to be outrageously good to beat Denver and the Raiders. The Chargers, it just showed in a game that they played against the Ravens that it's one thing to play well when you're chasing people and you're kind of a nice upstart. But when you're the team that's expected to play great every week, how are they going to handle that? There's a good chance they're not going to handle it in a veteran way the Chiefs do. So I have no problem thinking the Chiefs might pass the Chargers, even though I do believe the Chargers are a pretty good football team. So as we roll along here, at the end of the day, I don't think they're too far off of where I thought they were going to be. Chiefs are not a great team, but if those three guys stay healthy, if they get to just a normal level of turnovers, I think the defense will gravitate back toward average rather than just being awful. And with that and the experience the Chiefs have, I think that they'll start winning some games, get some momentum, believe in themselves, and be a real factor in the NFL. I'm not going to mark them down like we did last year. Hey, they're the best team in football, and the only discussion we want to have is, are they the best team in football? I don't think that discussion is worth having right now. It's just, is this a dumpster fire that they're not going to bounce back from, or are they going to be okay, be a playoff team, and we're going to get to see some exciting games in January? That's where I stand completely, and nothing changed. It unfolded just like I thought they were going to beat Washington, and they did.
So what I loved the last few years, Stan, was every Chiefs game was about the Chiefs. It didn't matter who they played. If they went and played well, they won the game. They were the best team in football. Right now, I feel like the games are all about the opponent. So they've beaten three teams. Okay, they beat the Eagles. They beat the Washington football team. Bad teams, both of them bad. Cleveland, I'm sorry, Baker Mayfield's resume is this. He never wins a game in the fourth quarter. He can't win a game. And he didn't against the Chiefs. He committed a turnover and lost the game. I mean, the guy is terrible in the fourth quarter. That's a decent football team, so I can't say that's not a good win. That's a decent football team. But I feel like when the Chiefs play good teams, Stan, they're not going to win. I don't see them beating the Packers or the Cowboys or at the Chargers. I don't see them right now winning any of those games unless they get dramatically better. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, I do think, let's just go down the theme that you said to start with. You know, the headline was that you said it's about the opponent, not the Chiefs. Okay, I have no problem with running along with you on that, Kevin, that I think the Chiefs are going to just blow our mind with some of the dumb things they do and mistakes. People have found out a way to slow down the Chiefs offense. The Chiefs defense is not very good unless something changes. If Chris Jones starts getting back in the game and blowing things up, Frank Clark plays his best football. You know, a lot of those things come together. Tyrann Mathieu starts making the splash plays. And if all those things happen, you know, maybe it's about the Chiefs. But I'm more with you for a second and say, it's about the opponents until we get to the playoffs. Then we're going to hit the reset button, and everyone's going to put their big boy pants on and find out what they're really worth, okay? That's where we're going to find out about a lot of these teams to say, do you really have it to play in the playoffs? In the AFC, there are some giant question marks about who is capable of fighting all the way through the playoffs. But I don't want to get there too quickly. Go back to the regular season. I do think it's about them. You know, you mentioned the Green Bay game. I think it's just up to Green Bay. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers and the Packers play their best football, I agree with you, Green Bay will win the game. But the chances of Green Bay playing that game is not hardly more than 50%. I mean, it really isn't. You watch Green Bay play every week, and they're battling around with every team, and they're behind in games. So if Aaron Rodgers goes off, Green Bay wins that game. But if he doesn't go off, I think the Chiefs win the home game. I think the Chiefs are going to beat the Giants. Same with Tennessee. It's up to Tennessee. If Tannehill plays his best game, then I think Tennessee matches up so well with the Chiefs. They can cause havoc with Derrick Henry and their football team. They like that little rivalry. They respect the Chiefs. Remember, I keep telling you, when the Chiefs walk on the field, they bring out the best in the opponent. They're two-time Super Bowl participant. They're the team that has Patrick Mahomes. Their uniforms look iconic right now. Everyone's going to play at a high level to start the game. So I think, you know, Tennessee could be a hard out for the Chiefs if Tennessee plays really well and basically Tannehill plays well. But if Tannehill plays like he has throughout this season, they're completely inconsistent. Derrick Henry will tear your heart out with a 60-yard run, but down after down, he's only averaging 4.5 yards a carry, which is fine, but it's just not dominant down after down. So I
guess he hasn't played the Chiefs yet.
That's a good point. You know, it's a bad matchup, right, on the road against Tennessee. But I go in the game saying 50-50 game. But after that, it's really going to be about how the other teams play. You go down the schedule, and it's really hard, Kevin, to see these teams playing good enough to beat the Chiefs. I'll have a great example for you in just a second. Before we get into that, because that'll go to a whole other tangent, okay? I know how you're going to respond to this. But, you know, it's about Tennessee. It's about Green Bay. They go on the road to the Raiders. It's totally about the Raiders. If the Raiders play like they did 2 weeks ago, they lose. If the Raiders play like they did against Denver on Sunday, they win. You know, it's in the Raiders' court. Even though the Raiders probably have a 40% chance of winning, they get to decide first, not the Chiefs. Same with the Cowboys. Cowboys show you their best plays, they win. They show you the worst plays, there's no way you can lose to these guys. Denver at home, Raiders at home, then back to the Chargers. That'll be a heck of a battle, but the Chiefs will be ready to roll. Pittsburgh at home, at Cincinnati, at Denver. I mean, you're going to win almost all those games. Those teams are not going to step up and beat the Chiefs, so the Chiefs aren't going to have to clear a very hard hurdle to have a very good record. That doesn't mean they're a great football team. Doesn't mean they don't have the problems that you've been mentioning. Those are real. The Chiefs look inconsistent, doing dumb things, and don't look like a winning defense down after down. But I still think they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to get a winning streak, and we'll find out what the new Chiefs are like at the end of the year. Do they get fixed? But I'll ask you this, Kevin. Here's my thought for you for the day. Okay? You and I, me especially, but even you, have been following the Dallas Cowboys. And if you were lucky enough to see what went on yesterday in New England, it was one of those games that they're going to replay this week, right? Probably Wednesday night or something. Turn it on. You talk about theater. That was awesome. Great. Belichick going against Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, okay? It was fun to watch. But what are your thoughts on the Cowboys right now?
Well, they're wild. They're a little bit like the Chiefs. They're better than the Chiefs right now because they're winning. They're winning their games. But they are wild entertainment, and you don't know what's going to happen. You can't predict it. They're a little too crazy. And you know, that's where I am with Andy Reid. Look, Andy Reid is a Hall of Fame coach. I can't think of another Hall of Fame coach whose football teams are dumber than the Chiefs. I mean, just even when they were winning the Super Bowl, stupid football teams with very little discipline. How in the world can he not fix this?
Well, that's a great point because, you know, the Super Bowl run is just masked over by thinking about the parade, the beautiful pictures. Patrick Mahomes will never lose again. But I was in the suite at the end of the first quarter of that Houston Texans game, Kevin. And fumbles back at the 5-yard line on punts. bad plays. I mean, you cannot go back and watch the tape of the Chiefs in that playoff run that ended up in a Super Bowl championship and act like it was just a dominant team playing clean football, blowing the other team up. So you have great points. You know, no one talks about how hard a run that was and how magical it was that they were able to hit the accelerator, come back, and Patrick Mahomes just had great luck. You know, nothing turned bad. He could close his eyes and throw the ball downfield, and it would turn into a perfect play. That's not happening right now. He's making the mistakes that, by odds, he probably should. So you're correct in pointing those things out. But I want to point the Dallas Cowboys at, because I'm going to say a little comparison, okay? Dallas had a big win, an energy-filling Monday after beating the New England Patriots and having a week off and seeing Dak Prescott. It was a big deal for Dallas fans, and the Dallas football program is just, you know, patting themselves on the back so hard it's unbelievable right now. But I would propose to you, Kevin, how bad is New England? New England is not a good football team. If New England would have played Washington on Sunday, it would have been a war down to the last seconds, and I can't tell you who would have won. Okay? But everyone on the Dallas side is so happy that they overcame the Patriots. But if the Patriots are playing Washington, last week the Patriots were beaten by the Houston Texans until the Texans made one of the stupidest plays ever. Did you see the punter on a fake punt mess around, try to deal to pull him offside, kicks the punt into the back of his own lineman and knocks backwards? Did you see that?
Yes.
The Texans are awful, and that's the only reason why New England won. New England's not very good, okay? And Dallas lost that thing about three or four times, but they came back and won the game. And not a lot of people are jumping on their bandwagon talking about how stupidly they're coached, how dumb of decisions they make, how bad their defense is.
He's dreadful.
The defense is bad, too.
You should be the coach of the Cowboys. I mean, seriously, that guy.
I can coach the Cowboys better than McCarthy.
No question.
Blow me up. I apologize to all the fans out there. I apologize.
He's a horrible
for being
coach.
Such a jerk. But I truly believe it. Now, that's, gosh, I sound so awful.
No, he might be the worst
coach
in the NFL.
You should not have me on. Dan Weber is just too cocky. I've never coached a college team, a high school team. So I'm telling you, I can manage that football team as good as Mike McCarthy.
Better. Every game, he gets in the way and almost ruins it. And, you know,
the defense is awful, too.
Andy doesn't.
Don't forget the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Andy doesn't ruin Chiefs games, okay? But he doesn't really coach the team either. He's a play caller. He's a play designer and a play caller. And that's pretty much it. The Chiefs go out there and do what they do. They're not going to stop the stupid stuff because Andy doesn't care. There is no discipline. There's no discipline. There's no order. There never has been. And it's showing up this year. I'm sorry. It's not going to get any better.
Well, I just think the odds, you know, okay, I'm not going to argue with you about how they play the game. I go back and say, just go roll the tape of the playoffs all the way through when they won the Super Bowl and see what kind of trouble they were in early in the game. Okay. So it's not perfectly clean football at all. That I'm not going to go there. I have no argument with you, Kevin, with that fact, but I will say this. I still think that with some undisciplined play and some bad defense and bad fits on the run game and those kind of things, I still think the turnover numbers are going to come down. I just am not going to mark the Chiefs down for three turnovers and four turnovers in a game. And as soon as I see a stretch of four games in a row where the Chiefs just turned it over one time each of those games, I don't care if it's an interception or Hardeman getting hit and fumbling or Pringle on a kickoff return. If the Chiefs lose the ball once a game in a four-game stretch, I'm very willing to say I think the Chiefs are going to be 3-1 or 4-0 in that stretch. So I do think turnovers are somewhat random. And that's a big part of what I'm erasing, right? Because you go back and look at this season, you go four turnovers, and yesterday three turnovers. And undisciplined? Yeah. Look at Patrick Mahomes' one play. That is the definition of undisciplined. You got such a superstar player who drops the snap. You can't be dropping the snap when you're a superstar quarterback. Then picks it up and bails out with just a throw that has absolutely no chance. There's no chance for Mahomes magic on that. That is just two awful examples on one play. The worst of the worst.
It's comedy. That's the worst interception in the NFL this year, and it will stand. No quarterback will have a worse play this year than what Mahomes did. And this is harsh. I'm going to say it. I said it on my instant reaction. This is not Look, I love Patrick Mahomes. I'm thrilled that he's the Chiefs quarterback. We've got a window here of 15 more years. That play encapsulated exactly why 11 teams passed on him in the draft. That's the play. And he's getting worse. I'm sorry, he's getting worse. The more money he makes, the more celebrity he has, the cockier he gets, he's going back to Texas Tech. And they're just out there balling, and he's throwing crazy passes. The Tyreek Hill touchdown pass, the short little touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill, we look at that, and I watched that replay 7 or 8 times. I ran it back. How in the world did he complete that pass? There were 4 defenders in there. The window was the size of a saucer cup. I mean, it was nothing. He had no window. He probably shouldn't have thrown it, but it was a touchdown. Even in the good plays, you're like, what the hell was that, Stan? I mean, that was unbelievable, that touchdown throw. And we say, well, that's great. But a lot of days, that's an interception, or at best, an incompletion. He's going backwards. This is what we're watching, is the reason 11 teams didn't draft him. And Andy doesn't seem to care.
Well, I think that the pendulum swung so far in the early years of Patrick Mahomes that I had to question myself. But I thought there were plenty of instances where Patrick Mahomes got away with doing something super athletic and didn't get burned, where I go, I just don't think if you did that 100 times, it's going to come out successfully 100 times. It's more be like 55 times. And 25 of the instances are going to be really bad, like interceptions, you know, pick six, those kind of things. But he had such a run where he didn't turn over the ball. Everything turned to gold. Scrambling around on the sideline, you know, last year, in trouble behind the line of scrimmage, and then guns the ball downfield through 3 or 4 guys and ends up completing a pass. Throwing a ball to Travis Kelce, where Travis is looking over his left shoulder, and he throws it to his right, and Travis doesn't even see that it's thrown, but just happens to turn that way and have the ball land right between the 8 and the 7. I mean, they were doing things off script enough that I kept thinking, he's getting the benefit of the doubt. And I just think now the odds are playing back out, that pendulum swung too far, he can't just do anything he wants and everything turn out magically. It needs to come back. But what happens in your mindset? You become invincible when you run through 2 or 3 years of what he did. Why wouldn't you? You know, you think that nothing possibly could ever go wrong, and you start playing that loose type of football, making up stuff, as Travis Kelce told us on that Monday night broadcast. But now I think he's realizing that isn't necessarily the truth. And what that does, Kevin, is it gives you a big punch in the gut on your confidence. So when you talk about where is Patrick Mahomes and is that a Texas Tech version or whatever, I just say it's a version that knows now that there's fear out there. Usually a rookie quarterback, like a Dak Prescott, when he was thrown in for the Cowboys, he played lights out. But he didn't know how hard it was. He didn't know how dangerous some of these throws were, or when he misread a coverage completely and didn't know any better and zipped the ball in and somehow the guy doesn't pull it in. The next year he started realizing and understanding football better, and it kind of scares you, like, whoa, that robber coverage, that's an interception if I throw it there. I think it is something for Patrick Mahomes to deal with. I don't think he's going to be quite as good, because now I think he respects some of the bad things that can happen, that it's not all going to be magical. But if we don't talk about Tyreek Hill's bouncing the ball off of his hands right to the opponent, okay, like here's an option pitch out, would you like an interception? And how bad were those the last 2 weeks? If we can just erase that from your mind for just a second, Kevin, I want to go back and tell you how awesome and unbelievable Tyreek Hill is. He and Patrick Mahomes together is what I was saying a couple years ago, really take themselves to the elite level, not just Patrick. The play you talked about, Tyreek Hill is the one that made the unbelievable play. Because you throw, that's the one that should bounce off his hands, because he was working through traffic at the goal line, angling in, and turns, and here comes a rocket shooting through how many hands, right?
Yeah.
Like you said, like going through a thin ball. Where did that ball come out? It wasn't, can you imagine if it's lofted up over toward the goalpost? That's an easy catch for a receiver, right? I mean, you can see it. It's me. Do I get my feet in? Don't have to worry about the defenders. When he threw that ball, kind of a low line drive through a bunch of people, and if you go back and watch the replay from the receiver's point of view, Tyreek Hill just turns and that ball is on him. And he grabs it like no big deal. That is an unbelievable play. And some of that I do think the Chiefs can do. They do have the unbelievable ability to complete some of those passes. But I think Patrick Mahomes is going to regress a little bit, because he's going to respect what's out there and what can go wrong. But it could be a great story. Think about John Elway. When John Elway was young, he was just like a colt that was owned the whole pasture and would do whatever he wanted, right? I mean, he would roll to the right and throw a bomb down to the left side. And all everyone did was brag about how great he was. But in fact, you know, that's not good play. That's not going to happen down after down. But think about when he made his Super Bowl run when he was an old man. When Davis was in there, he didn't throw the whole team on his back as much, but he actually was just as effective or more as a quarterback. He really understood what he could do from the pocket, where he can maneuver and run and why he's running, and it just wasn't wild and crazy. John Elway was wild and crazy and took Denver to 3 Super Bowls. But when he won those last 2 Super Bowls, he was a refined quarterback. And I think that's the thing you're going to see with Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has already played the wild football and been successful. He won a Super Bowl, almost won another one, and he's still in that stage, but I think you're starting to see the transition. And it may be the offseason before he really gets it, Kevin, when he's talking to other quarterbacks about, you know, he needs to start throwing the ball better from the pocket. And that's partly the offensive line getting him queasy back there as well, right? Did you see the runs he had, Kevin? Did I tell you when he has to leave the pocket, he's always got to step up first a couple steps and then run parallel to the line of scrimmage to make something happen? Did you see that? He never gets to back up and turn the corner and give you that run pass threat for about 10 yards of field play before he decides what he does. And he's been fast enough to run out of there. But the offensive line is just not killer right now. I mean, they pulled Niang out, right, and put Remmers in at right tackle. I think that's a little hint that that offensive line still has a ways to go to make him feel comfortable. But he's going to have to decide if he wants to be a refined quarterback or play off schedule. And I think he likes that off-schedule stuff.
Yeah, he does.
But it isn't going to be flawless. I think he'll develop, but it probably won't be this year. It's just down the line.
Yeah, he likes making big plays. He likes running around and scrambling, and the best play of the game probably was negated by the Kelce penalty. That was fun to watch, and he certainly makes plays. I feel like the Chiefs would have lost to most teams yesterday. If they weren't playing Washington, I think they would have been down 17 points at the half to a lot of football teams. I mean, a lot of teams, including the Titans this week. If they play that first half at Tennessee, they're going to be down 17 points to the half and never be able to recover. There's a lot of teams they simply will not beat. It's a miracle. I mean, they won 31-13. I can't believe I'm saying it, but they would have lost to most teams yesterday. They would have.
Well, that's a really well-said statement right there. I think that's what the fans listening right now need to take into account. As the ball is kicked off next Sunday, you know, what do you take out of the thoughts that we have going into that game? And I think what you said is a very good declarative sentence. If the Chiefs mess around and play like they did in the first half against Washington, they're not going to be able to dig out of that hole against Tennessee, because Tennessee is going to be able to have a great answer in the second half. Wouldn't you love to be the Titans program and football team and have a 10-point lead on the Chiefs and need to run the clock out and run the ball and play action pass off of it when they want to? I mean, isn't that a good situation? Beating the Chiefs defense with a lead and Henry in the backfield. So, yeah, it's a very well-stated statement. They cannot mess around like they did in the first half and think they're going to win this week against the Titans. But they can when they play the Giants. You know, they might be able to when they're playing Denver at home. They're just – there's a lot of teams in the NFL this year that are not very good. And we're seeing the separation occur where the teams with really good records are continuing to move forward and the teams that aren't as good continue falling toward the bottom. You look at division races and just say it's over. I mean, it's disappointing. A 17-game schedule, and already I just pencil in or put in pen Buffalo Bills, division champs, AFC East. I mean, how can we do that? These teams are just falling down. You look at the Titans and you say, well, just mark down Tennessee as a division champion because the other teams just aren't very good and are falling away. There are plenty of bad teams. The Chiefs played some of the hard ones. They need to clean up their game. The message that you're giving, they need to clean up their game. I thought it should be in big, bold letters or big red letters, however you want to say it, for all your listeners when it was halftime and even into the third quarter, right? I mean, all the way to that Washington field goal that got missed. Things could have gotten very interesting if the Chiefs kept messing around. But when they didn't mess around, it ended up being where I thought it was going to be, a win over Washington. The Tennessee game's up in the air, but I would still give the Chiefs an advantage to go win this game. But it's close to 50-50. But after that, you know, they're going to beat the Giants. And I think when you bring the Packers in here, you're going to see some of the Chiefs' best football. When the Cowboys come in here, that's the type of game that fires up the Chiefs. And the Cowboys, they are so dumb. I mean, they make the Chiefs look smart. Okay. Andy Reid versus McCarthy. Andy Reid versus McCarthy. Where are you going to go on that one?
I mean, well, seriously. Andy Reid doesn't screw up in game as much as McCarthy does.
Right. The Cowboys, I say, have the best offense in the NFL, better than the Chiefs. The Cowboys' offense is lethal.
Yeah.
There's not a weakness to the team on offense. All the receivers, tight ends, the support players, the running backs, Ezekiel Elliott, serious again, not walking off the field after every second play. He's playing like a warrior. The Cowboys' offense is lethal. Their defense is so overrated. Diggs is a superstar player who pulls an interception out of the air. But their offense protects them so much that the Cowboys' defense is not very good, and they do a lot of dumb things. So I still say Chiefs over Cowboys until proven otherwise. I pretty much have that one marked in my mind. When I think about the Cowboys' rest of the season, I got Chiefs over Cowboys unless there's a miracle. They barely beat the Patriots, and they had every advantage. They should have won that game easily. They should have won by 10 points going away. New England has no offensive threat. They hadn't had a pass. They hadn't had a pass play longer than 32 yards all year, Kevin. Until when they needed it, they just go right to the Cowboys in 75 yards in one play, like it's playing against a bunch of seventh graders. I'm just saying, the Chiefs' schedule is a big part of what I'm talking about. The AFC, when you look at it, Kevin, one of my buddies came up to me and said, "Well, you know, he loves football. He understands it." He goes, "What do you think the Chiefs' chances of making the playoffs are?" And I said 85%, and he like fell over because he knows 2 and 3 teams don't have anything close to an 85% chance of making playoffs, Kevin. We know that. But it's, most of those stats are 6-team playoff participants in the AFC, not 7. Okay, remember that. We got 7. But just look around. All you've got to do is outpace Denver and the Raiders, and the Chiefs will be just fine.
Well, that's true.
And I still think they're going to – I still think they have a chance to win the division. So your points are well taken. Your concerns – your frustrations. I sat there, Kevin, yesterday, not saying, "Oh, I don't agree with Kevin." I said, "I totally agree with you, but I also have my side to add on that both of us can be correct." Other than maybe last week, I thought I'm a little bit more rosy about where the Chiefs will end up with their record this year.
They're getting 3 free wins in the NFC. Okay, I'm sorry, they didn't play great yesterday, and they won 31-13 because Washington
exactly
stinks. The Eagles stink, and the Giants are worse than both of them. They're going to get 3 wins probably against the Raiders and Broncos. There's 6 gimmies right there. So, I mean, when you get 6 gimmies in a 17-game schedule, they're probably going to make the playoffs. I don't dispute that. I don't, Stan, my thing is, Andy Reid, it doesn't even look like he's trying to clean this football team up. Why can't he instill some discipline with this team? I don't understand. We sit here, we watch great coaches. We know what wins in football. We look at the coaches in the Hall of Fame. Andy Reid's going to be one of them. There is no question his teams are going to be remembered as the least disciplined teams in the history of a Hall of Fame coach. Why? Why doesn't he coach some discipline into them?
Well, I think he's taken an approach, and before he won the Super Bowl with the Chiefs, I said this, and it sounds very mean about Andy Reid, but I said the best of Andy Reid was when he had the late Jim Johnson as his defensive coordinator. Kevin, that guy was a superstar. So it's partly a marriage between him and his defensive coordinator. So where do you think Spags is? You know, this is a big part because I think he let Spagnuolo coach the defense. When Jim Johnson was there when he first got out with the Eagles, Andy had a flair and aggressiveness about onside kicking on the first kickoff of the year. He did that in Dallas and set the tone for his team winning that game. He'll do those things. He loves to throw the ball deep. We'll run trick plays and be wild and crazy, innovative, awesome offensive play caller, puts his players in the best position. From an offensive standpoint, you know, as good of if not the best in the NFL, and he's been that way his whole career and still can say that today. But on the defensive side, he pretty much did leave it to his defensive coordinator. When Jim Johnson passed away, the Eagles were never the same. I mean, they fought and went all the way to the Super Bowl, but they were not the same on the defensive side. And you can argue the Chiefs have been that way ever since they came here, that he's an offensive-minded coach. Now, the discipline side of it is, I think he believes that in the NFL, if the players learn to love you and you win some games, that you can bring people in the locker room. And what do we say about the Chiefs whenever they bring a guy like Gordon? What does everyone say? Oh, this locker room's going to be able to handle it. You know, Frank Clark, when he came to the Chiefs, everyone said, well, this locker room's going to be able to handle it. They'll test the waters of not having the most disciplined players with their personal lives and everything on their team. And Andy Reid's made a lot of winning game, you know, winning seasons doing this. Say, I can bring the best out of these guys by coaching them up on the offensive side, making it fun, finding a way to win, having some discipline, but basically give them more hugs than dirty looks, you know, not the Belichick way, kind of the opposite of that. And he's been able to do that and have great success up to, but not get over the hump. He finally got over the hump. So maybe you say it all works, but I think it's playing with a little fire. I'd always believe in a guy like Belichick before. But right now, Kevin, his hands are tied. I'm telling you, throughout football, probably all the way down to the high school level, but that old high school coach you had that taught you how to be a man when you were a boy, we're teaching you lessons about life and discipline and being tough and fighting through adversity, physical or mental, things that we believe, I think you believe, make you a better man later in your life. It's probably better for you to be a father and a husband than it was to be a football player in high school. That coach can't function right now. I mean, all you do is just say, come on, boys, we can do better. You can't yell at them. In college, they transfer. In the pros, they go call their buddies and their agent and say, you know, this coach is being mean to me. And they'll turn them in. Guys turn in NFL coaches, Kevin, for wearing the wrong kind of padding. We wore real shoulder pads today. And we were supposed to just wear those little soft deals that aren't really shoulder pads. They'll turn themselves in to the NFL. Marty Schottenheimer is probably just going, what the heck? You know, don't you want to win? Let's be tough. But that is completely off the board. So really, Andy Reid cannot change his colors now. In fact, more coaches are going to have to do it the Andy Reid way of just begging the players to come along. Like, hey, guys, you can, you know, come on, guys. Let's don't make mistakes. Come on, guys. Let's cut out the penalties. Let's don't have any cheap shots. Let's be a little more clean. But it's just words. It's not Bill Belichick. When Bill Belichick looks you in the eye in the meeting room, there's something about his eyes like have lasers that want to just tear your body apart, you know? You just go, this guy hates me. And Andy Reid's not going to do that. And coaches don't get by with that. So this has sailed. This ship has sailed, Kevin. Andy Reid's way, and I think he used to be a tougher offensive lineman type of guy, but he's going to get softer and softer and softer because that's what everybody in coaching has to do nowadays.
All right, let's talk a little college football here to wrap this thing up, Stan. Look, we know what Kansas – we knew coming in what Kansas would be, so we won't spend a lot of time there. They're rebuilding. They're not good. They're losing a lot of games. Missouri is a complete mess. I mean, their defense is unbelievably bad. And I don't remember the last time K-State won a conference game. This is getting serious now for Chris Klieman. And it wasn't just that they lost to Iowa State. They looked a lot like the Chiefs. I mean, they did a lot of stupid things in that game to beat themselves. I feel like the college football season is just getting away from us here, and there's not – I mean, it's just all Chiefs now. Is there anything left for K-State or Missouri, or are they just playing out the schedule?
Well, you put it into a regional type of mindset, Kevin. I think about even going a little further and thinking of the Nebraska fans that used to be such a big part of what we talk about here in Kansas City and the situation they're in. And you're kind of right. I mean, we got the Chiefs and watching the NFL playing fantasy football and all of that. But right now, where do you find the momentum for college football? K-State won three games to start the non-con and Skylar Thompson is back, but they have lost three games and they had a week off in there. So Kevin, it's been 4 weeks since they last won a game. And suddenly, you start asking yourself questions. I think every year is a new year, and every team needs to catch some momentum and belief. And when you start breaking down, it's internally. Any questions that people on the outside have already been asked by the inside, and you got to confirm with your football team that you win games. That's how you do it. You look at Missouri right now. I don't think they've beat an FBS opponent yet, if I'm not mistaken. You know, that – Maybe it's a Power 5 opponent that they have. They beat North Texas, but they have not beat a Power 5 opponent yet this year. You start walking around questioning yourself. The defense has really struggled, and guess what? Now the offense has started to struggle. I thought a big marker for Missouri when things really took a big slide down. I don't know if I mentioned it to you, Kevin, but when Bazalek threw an interception in overtime against Boston College, that was not just a loss where you could point and say, hey, our defense isn't stopping anybody. It's historically bad. What the heck? When your quarterback, who you can rely on, has the ball in his hands and you got to go score a touchdown to tie Boston College score, and he throws an interception on the first play, I don't care what the excuses are. That eats into his confidence level. He's a young quarterback, and now he's starting to look a little lost. He's starting to not make the plays down after down. So now the offense is starting to deteriorate a little bit. The defense was bad. You didn't get a chance to win. That's why we highlight those games. Kentucky, what a big game. Missouri was tied late in the game, and here we look at Kentucky has only one loss and lost to Georgia last week, but was undefeated before that. How close is it? Then they go to Boston College, lose a game in overtime, and yet it keeps building on itself. And then they got shocked by Tennessee. Suddenly it becomes easy for Texas A&M. I'm really surprised by Missouri. I think the fans are more surprised because I think Eli Drinkwitz got as good a free pass as I've heard anybody around here get, acting like he was a dominant coach and coming from App State, that he, you know, would he stay at Missouri? Is he going to win so much? And I was going, you know what? Why do you guys give him a free pass like that? I mean, how good is he? And then we saw the defense start to falter at the end of last year, and there are plenty of questions. We need to give him a little room to breathe, but he's coming far down because we built him up too high. And now Missouri has a lot of problems this year. I thought they were going to win 8, 9, or 10. And now it looks like they may not even be bowl eligible. So it's a big change for them. K-State, there are all kinds of questions when you haven't won for 4 weeks. And you look around and say, we're 0-3, haven't won a conference game in a long, long time. There's plenty of question marks. So now the game against Texas Tech is a lot like Missouri's game against Kentucky. I'll stand back and ask you this question, Kevin, because my answer, I'll tell you what my answer is. But after six games and knowing what K-State's schedule was in the non-con with Stanford starting in Dallas and playing Nevada and SIU, and then the start of conference at Oklahoma State, still undefeated, Oklahoma still undefeated, and Iowa State, what did you think K-State's record would be after six games halfway through the year?
Well, they had the toughest six games. I preseason, they said the first six games for Kansas State were the hardest in America. So I hear what you're saying, 3-3. But again, it's like the Chiefs. They're doing dumb things, Stan. There's a lot to like with K-State. I understand that there's a lot to like, and they could win a bunch of games. But not playing stupid football, they can't.
Yeah, and it builds up on itself. I think you answered the question exactly how I would. If K-State would have been 4-2 with those six games, I would have been ecstatic. I would have taken that in June, July, August, September, and even in October. If they would be 4-2 right now, I think they'd take a deep breath and we'd find out how good they are. Not predicting they're going to be great or whatever, but they would be able to breathe and play. But guess what? When Missouri loses to Kentucky, it wears on you. When they lose to Boston College, it deteriorates your confidence. I just talked about the infection of the defense having issues. Now it's over on the offense. That kind of thing can happen. K-State's now facing that because of how the conference unfolded. If they would have played in game one of the conference schedule, if they were 3-0, Kevin, and went to Texas Tech to start the conference play, I would have felt pretty confident that K-State could go find a win right there. Then if they would have come back and lost to Oklahoma and Iowa State in the next two, no one would think any big deal. You know, or if you had a Kansas game in there, or you played West Virginia at home. But the sequencing of the schedule does matter. You've got to survive. And K-State's 3-3. They've lost three in a row. You could say they've survived, but there are questions mounting everywhere. And I say always, the questions start right internally. So the players, the coaches, everyone else says, what the heck? So now you got like a quadruple or nothing game against Texas Tech, who's on an upswing. Texas Tech's not a great team, but you know what? They went to West Virginia and won. They went to Kansas and won. So right now they feel like we're fine. You know, we're a 5-2 football team. Our coach was on the hot seat. Let's go. We got a home game. So all those intangibles are on Texas Tech's advantage and not K-State's. But given these two teams playing each other, if they'd have played a few weeks ago, I think K-State would have been a 65-35 chance of winning. And now with the sequencing of where their confidence levels are, it's a dead 50-50. But what's at stake is crazy because K-State, if they lose this game, is going to start really, really wondering, are we any good? If they win, I think they'll take a deep breath and we'll see what K-State really is. But you know, it's like a golfer. They played a hard part of the course, Kevin. I don't golf well enough. I know you're not a pro, but I don't know if you ever get beaten down when you play the first nine holes and they're a lot harder. And does it affect you? Like you get beat up and you get bogeys and you know, the kind of play, but it's really just because you're playing the hard nine holes. I know the pros can bounce back and go, no, I'm going to birdie three or four of the last nine, no bogeys in play. We're going to be fine. I might get an eagle shot. But who can keep their composure when they are playing that hard front nine and getting those bogeys, and then everyone on social media is all over you? You know, everyone says you stink. So how do you react to that, Kevin, when you're playing golf? Do you play a good back nine when the holes get a little easier, or does it just, you can't dig out of that hole? I don't know, but that's what K-State football is experiencing. How do you handle that when you're playing golf?
Well, I ask myself why I'm out here. If I start bogey, double bogey, bogey, and now all of a sudden I'm four over after three holes, I'm like, why am I out here? I should go home. I mean, that's what goes through my mind, unless it's just a beautiful day. I'm like, what am I doing here? I've got nothing today. And there's days where you just feel that way. So I don't know, man. Yeah. I
think a season's like a golf course. And, you know, the fans right now, who probably a lot of them love golf, would say, well, it's not very realistic, the example I gave, because rarely is the front nine all hard and the back nine more medium. I understand that, you know, but there's definitely, I watch enough pro golf to say sometimes there are five hole stretches on the front nine that are just outrageous, and you're just trying to survive to continue on. And I've been saying it to you for over 20 years, Kevin, getting close to 25 years. Every season's a new season. Momentum matters.
Yeah.
Missouri, if they would have beaten Boston College,
that's a big game,
probably wouldn't have lost to Tennessee. But now they are more holes. Every hole you thought was in your boat, they've been double. Because now I tell you, I think the offense is in trouble. I think Missouri is in trouble for the rest of this year.
Yeah.
And how it goes up, you know, how that affects what they think about Drinkwitz is in question as well.
Yep. Well, all right. We got a good pro season going. I know that. So we got a lot to talk about there, and we'll see what happens with our college teams. Maybe they get a turnaround in the second half. It feels like football season. It's getting cooler out, and you know, we love this sport so much, Dan, that life is good. We don't live and die with all the wins and losses. We're just entertained by watching it all, and we'll see what happens this year. It is so much fun talking football with you. I can't thank you enough, buddy.
Okay, Kevin, thank you. It must be Monday. I'm talking to Kevin.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Okay, take care. Bye.
All right, he is Stan Weber, and outstanding stuff from Stan. Again, as is the way it is every Monday, our Monday morning quarterback is Stan Weber, and he's bullish on the Chiefs. He feels better about them than I do. I know that's true. But I think he sees the upside more than I do. I can't, for some reason right now, I can't see the upside on the Chiefs because of the mistakes they're making. And that's as much on them as it is on me. But I can't see the greatness. I cannot see the Super Bowl caliber football team until the, and I don't even know if it's cleaning things up. I mean, when you're just dropping passes like Tyreek Hill, right through your hands 2 weeks in a row for an interception to the other team, when you're doing things like that, I mean, it's a miracle you win a game. It's absolutely a miracle you win 31-13, that's for sure. KKHI is brought to you by Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com. Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, TJville, Kanskis will build you a custom home, a commercial property, room additions, or check out the Solheim Condominiums at Grand Mirror on the award-winning Colbert Hills Golf Course in Manhattan, online. Seriously, go look at these houses that he builds. Unbelievable. Back, numeral 9, back9development.com. Buck Roofing and Construction. Ron Buck puts all the roofs on TJ's buildings. They work together. They are now KKHI partners, I guess we would say. So all the Back 9 Development buildings now feature Buck Roofing. You should too. You want a free roof inspection? Call 384-2680 and sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Fry Orthodontics. The great thing about Fry is they not only are less expensive, they get your treatment in less time. Every appointment you have is on time. They really pride themselves in running efficiently and on time because your time is money. So at Fry Orthodontics, when you decide to get Invisalign and get that perfect smile, you're going to get an appointment time. You're going to get in, get out. It's going to run like a machine. Fry Orthodontics, your smile is just the start. And 360 Document Solutions. They'll make your business run more efficiently with IT solutions, mailing systems, phone systems, copiers, printers, everything. 360 Document Solutions will do a complimentary analysis of your doc technology and IT programs. They'll give you a complete review of your current costs and a solution that can bring you real, tangible benefits for your business. Call Mark at 360 Document Solutions, 913-745-5344. Online at 360documentsolutions.com. So if you don't think football is the craziest sport there is, let's talk briefly, not really about Louisiana State football, because people don't really care in listening to this podcast much about Louisiana State football. They played a tremendous game this weekend. They beat number 20 Florida. They beat a rival. It was an upset. It was a great win for LSU. LSU, less than 2 years ago, this would be 21 months ago now, 21 months ago, national champions. Ed Orgeron's been there 6 years. He's their coach. Won a national championship. 21 months later, he beats Florida at home. Fans are happy. Everything's good. Hey, looky there. And he's fired. You can't make this up. SEC football is nuts. And as we talk about Missouri and what this will be going forward, and now Oklahoma and Texas are in the fray, I kind of feel bad for Missouri. I do. It's like Kentucky. Kentucky has a good coach. They're happy with their coach, Mark Stoops. They've had some really nice wins. They've clearly gotten better. They're not. They used to be KU. They were a laughingstock. They were awful. They're not. But they go play Georgia this weekend. They get pounded. They're sort of in the game, I guess, maybe. But they know their role. They're a good football team in the SEC. They're decent. Probably going to go to a bowl game. But what is that for fans? And what about this league? The SEC is insane. They're adding Oklahoma and Texas. LSU just fired a coach that less than 2 years ago won a national title. He just beat number 20 Florida on Saturday, and they fired him Sunday. They say it's mutual agreement to go a different direction. They fired him. I mean, this is just unbelievable. This is, of all the coaching, hit the panic button, do this, do that, whatever. I've never seen anything like this. LSU fired their coach that won a national title less than 2 years ago, a day after he knocks off number 20 Florida, one of their rivals, not the rival, but one of their big rivals. It's staggering. And look, I'm not arguing that they might be able to do better than Ed Orgeron. They may be able to do better. The SEC is a blood sport. That college football conference, it's blood sport. And I don't know that Missouri's up for it. I like Eli Drinkwitz as much as the next guy. This year's been bad for him. I'm thinking the same things about Chris Klieman right now. Let's be honest. Everybody loved the hire at K-State. He beat Oklahoma a couple times. Things are good. He's got a 29-year-old quarterback or whatever. You're like, okay, here we go. He's going to have a good year this year. The stupid things they did in their game make it not look serious. It makes it look like, I'm going to say this about Chris Klieman's team. They look like a team that's coached by lower division coaches. Now, I've always believed that the best high school coaches could be NFL coaches. We look at Rhule, the guy that was at Baylor, and he's off in the NFL. It looks like he's going to be a good NFL coach. I don't know that it matters where you came from and where you coached. You can go from high school to Art Briles went from high school to Baylor and almost won a national title or came right on the brink of it, certainly ranked number one in the country at one point. So coaching is coaching, but I'm sitting here looking at Kansas State. They do not look like a well-coached football team. They do not look disciplined. They look like an Andy Reid football. Well, they don't look like an Andy Reid football team because they're not entertaining. They're not out there scoring points and going up and down the field. They're not doing those things that at least the Chiefs will entertain you. If they're not going to win the Super Bowl, the Chiefs are at least entertaining every moment of every game. They're entertaining. But Missouri, I just don't know where they fit in. I feel bad for Missouri fans. The SEC, when you're looking at what LSU is doing, most schools would let that play out a little bit more. Maybe there's more to the story. Maybe there's a health issue. Maybe there's something happened. We don't know, but it just looks like they said, look, Ed Orgeron isn't good enough for this league. He inherited some players. He had great players. We did some winning under him because we had Joe Burrow and it was great. All those things were great, but he isn't the guy. I kind of understand what they're saying, but they just won a national title a couple years ago, less than 2 years ago, right? And and they just beat Florida on Saturday, and he's whacked. He's out. He's gone. This league is unbelievable. The SEC's unreal. And it's great that Missouri's there, and it's great that they're making money, and it's great that they feel like they're part of the best league. But over the long haul, that stinks for the fans. That stinks. You got to be competitive. You got to win. You have to be part of something. I'll say something really, really controversial. This is going to send many of you into a frenzy. The future, not today, not these two coaches. I can't predict that. I don't know about the two coaches that are there now. The future for Kansas football is better than Missouri's. I said it. I went there. Oklahoma and Texas leaving is good business for Kansas football. I don't think the league's going to be easy. We see if you take Oklahoma and Texas out, you add in the four teams that are coming, the Big 12 is still the third best league behind the SEC and the Big 10. It's still the third best conference in America, power-wise, with the four teams they're adding. Not saying it's going to be easy. But gone are the days of you go down to Texas, you go down to Oklahoma, and when those kids are gone, the ones that are going to the SEC are gone, who's the big boy to recruit against now? Oklahoma State? TCU? The future for Kansas football is actually better than the future for Missouri football. I'm sorry, Mizzou fans. You're going to go crazy over that. You're going to get really mad at me, but it's true. I don't think the SEC is for Missouri. I've never thought it was. And you can run around all day and brag about money if that's what you're in it for. I don't see it, man. And I think it was really, for me, it was, you know, an exclamation point was put on that when Ed Orgeron was let go. What? LSU? What? One little hiccup year? It's not even that much of a hiccup. They just beat number 20. What are they, 4-2 or something? The LSU's not horrible. They're just fine. And they said, this guy isn't getting us back where we need to go. We're going to change directions. Unbelievable. Only football. Only SEC football. And this is a compliment. This is meant to be a compliment about the league. I'm not saying they made the bad decision. I'm not saying that. I don't know that. Maybe it is a bad decision. Maybe they hire a bad coach. But my goodness, you know, they say it just matters more. I'm not sure it matters that much at Missouri. I think Missouri is maybe the exception. I don't think it matters enough at Missouri. I don't think they've really rolled their sleeves up and understand what the SEC is and said, this is life and death stuff for us. I mean, even Arkansas is like trying to crawl out of the, you know, the Stone Age and get back to relevancy because it matters. It matters so much. They're part of this thing. I'm hopeful that Missouri will figure that out. I don't feel like they're there right now. I feel like they're a team that's in a league that they're overmatched, that they're just overmatched, that it matters too much at these other places, and it's too hard for Mizzou. The K-State thing, I just think Chris Klieman's doing a terrible job with this team. I'm sorry. Too many stupid penalties, dropped passes, mistakes right and left. There's a lot to like with K-State. You can watch them and go, okay, it's there. You can see it. But it doesn't matter if you're not capitalizing on that. And they're not. They simply aren't. They started the season great. They beat Stanford. Really good win. They've played close in their losses, had chances. But if you're a dumb football team, a mistake-prone football team, you're not beating anybody. And the Big 12 is that good. It's not the SEC, but it is that good that if you don't show up and play well, you're beat. And it stinks to think the college football season is before Halloween, the college football season's a floater. You know, it's just circling the bowl, circling the drain. It stinks. It stinks for all the area teams. That's too bad. Appreciate you listening to KKHI. Thank you very much. Tell your friends. Hit that like or follow button. I ran into a couple people this weekend that say, oh, I listen to your podcast. I love it. But I haven't hit that like or follow button. And I'm like, dude, hit that thing. He's like, that's not my thing. I've created my own list. I've got 4 or 5 podcasts I listen to, and you're one of them. I said, that's great. I appreciate that. But you know, you haven't hit the like or follow button yet, please do that if you get a chance. Or tell a friend about the podcast and have them hit the like or follow button. We certainly appreciate that. We appreciate you being here at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.